Well, hello, everybody. It's that time again for Awaken Me Too, a program about real people with real stories serving a real and ever-present God. This is Bruce Carroll, and we have an awesome show planned today, and we are going to jump right into it. Our guest today is a real special friend of mine named Ronnie Johnson. He's pastor of Miracle of Redemption Church in Nutbush. I would say one of the toughest neighborhoods in Memphis.
Yes.
Ronnie is an expert of sorts on redemption, I would say, and his story is amazing. He's a soul winner and an intercessor. So, Ronnie Johnson, welcome to Awaken Me Too, brother.
Hey, man. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, man. Well, listen, I just want to jump right into this because I want to take advantage of the time that we have. I've heard your testimony and I've read your bio, if you will. Man, you've been a gangster, you've been shot, you've been stabbed, you've been cast aside, you've been left for dead. Let's go back to the beginning. I want you to tell me about growing up and what was it like before Christ, before your redemption story? Will you tell me about that?
Yes, sir. Glad to. I was born and raised in Memphis, Tennessee, in some projects that was called Lamont on Gardens. At that time, the projects that I lived in was the third worst forced crime in the nation. And I grew up without a father. My father died when I was 2 years old. I have three other siblings that my mom had to raise without a father. She tried her best to provide for us four kids. And growing up poor, relying on the government assistance like powder milk, the peanut butter, powder eggs, and cheese and all that, when that ran out, you know, we was just without food. And growing up, mom had 13 siblings. And a lot of my cousins, they all had their dads. And most of the times we would, my siblings and I would get their hand-me-downs. And, you know, in the projects that I lived in, the other kids would always dress nice because they had their both parents. And, you know, I was kind of jealous because we didn't have those things. Mm-hmm. So looking out the front door, seeing all these different kids with all these new things, and I wanted them too, but mom couldn't provide. So I rebelled against my mom at an early age, at the age of 11. I tell folks all the time, sin will take you farther than you want to go and keep you long you want to stand, have you to pay more than you want to pay, according to scripture, of course, which I didn't know then. In the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, 2, and 3 tells us to children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right.
Right.
Verse 2 says, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. And verse 3 tells us that it will be well with thee, and that thou may live it long on the earth. Well, because I rebelled against mom, I began to live that lifestyle of sin. It all started out with a cigarette with me, trying to be cool like my friends, trying to get in to fit in. And next thing you know, I graduated from smoking cigarettes. And next thing you know, I was smoking marijuana. It led to drinking on the weekends. And next thing you know, I was stealing cars to make money and began to sell drugs. And I joined the gang. Who accepted me for who I was at that time, and that led to even more crime. And I never thought in my wildest dreams that I would grow up to be a crack addict and a heroin addict and an alcoholic.
Ronnie, you ended up in a pretty violent gang, right?
I did.
And what kind of stuff would that gang do?
Well, anything that your mind could imagine for a crime, certain ones did certain things, and that, you know, for reputation, for money, just for revenge, things like that.
So your mama saw you going astray, and she was too busy trying to provide for you and your siblings.
Correct.
So she wasn't thrilled about the choices you were making, right?
No, sir, she wasn't.
Did she have any kind of spiritual mooring, or did she know the Lord? Was she a churchgoer at all?
No, of course. My grandmother, which is my mother's mother, who was the spiritual person in our family. My mom, according to tradition and the community, her moral standards was, in that sense, good. But according to the scripture, she didn't know the Lord.
She was lost.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay. So, so you're living this life of crime, and you're trying to be accepted, and you're hanging with people that are doing the same thing you're doing because it makes you feel good about yourself. And something had to happen. God had to reach down and get your attention.
Correct.
And how did that happen, and what was that?
I had always heard about God. You know, I imagine God was sort of like a man, someone that you probably could go to and manipulate or to fool, that like any other person, you know, you probably could trick. And didn't have no true knowledge of who God was. Well, one night at the age of 30, after living that lifestyle of sin for so long, after being shot four times, stabbed seven, in and out of prison, selling drugs, using drugs, just heading to destruction. And I would try to manipulate God as if he was like man, and to ask God for these favors. And if he would grant these favors, I would be a certain way. That little that I know, that's not how the Lord works.
Right. We tend to, those who are lost, and we both were, we sort of put God in our image, don't we?
Yes.
And he, at least in my case, and it sounds like yours as well, he sort of became our butler.
Yes.
Like, God, I'll do this as long as you do that.
Correct.
So, like, it's a transactional sort of a deal, and God doesn't work that way.
Yes, sir. It was June 1st, 1995. I'll never forget. After being on a three-day bench, I had just robbed some guys, and that I had word was out that these guys had a hit out on me. And being up for 3 days, high on these drugs, at that time, before then, I never was afraid to die. You know, I wasn't afraid of going to hell. But this particular day.
Did you believe in hell?
I believed in it, but I didn't care if I went there or not. But this particular day, June 1st, 1995, for the first time, I began to think about my boys, that if I was to have died because of my sin and them guys putting a hit out on me, that my boys was going to grow up without their father like I was.
Okay, so you had kids at this time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Five boys and one daughter.
Wow.
And so growing up as a kid without a father, I always wanted a dad. And I looked for that father's love in all the wrong places. That's why I wound up being accepted in the game, because they accepted me. And a lot of the older guys were sort of that father figure that I never had. And so there was this preacher one day, June 1st, 1995, walking in the neighborhood, and He approached me and he had heard about my reputation and he tried to present the gospel. Of course, I wasn't interested. Matter of fact, I thought that he was the police because he was a white guy. And it was rare for a white guy to be walking in the hood unless they was the police.
Right.
And he was sharing with me that they was building a new facility up the street and that if I ever wanted to stop by, that I could. I thought they was the feds. And so I went up the street out of curiosity, looking to hear some police code or something that would prove to my conscience that I was right. But and I asked them, did they have any work for pay? And one of the guys who was working there said, man, we got plenty of work, but no pay. And I used some profanity and I went back down to the dope track where I was when I first met the preacher. And my conscience just wouldn't leave me alone. Not knowing again that Jesus said that no man come unto the Father except the Father who sent me draw him. And so out of curiosity, I went back up there to ask them that if they would let me work for free. And the guy that owned the facility told me that, hey, man, I like the way you work. And he told me if I was to come back the next day, he'll pay me for working.
And so what kind of work were you doing?
Well, just simply laying sod, pulling weeds, just little general labor.
Okay. And so was this guy paying you or not?
Not the first day of June 1st, the second day when he told me to be there at 8 o'clock. Of course, I had been up for 3 days the night before, and I overslept until 12 that next day. And so I remember that I was offered a job, so I jumped up and ran up to the facility and knocked on the door, and the guy that owned the place said, can I help you? I said, yes sir, you said that you was gonna give me a job. And he said, I sure was. He said, but I told you to be here at 8 o'clock. And he closed the door, was closing the door, and I grabbed the door. And he said, man, what are you doing? And I told him, man, I got a problem. He said, what's your problem? I told him I was hooked on drugs. And he smiled at me and told me to come on in. And by the way, this guy's name is Ronnie Tullis. And so he invited me into his office and he shared the gospel with me. And he asked me, Ronnie, have you ever been saved? And I told him that I was saved once when in the penitentiary. And he said, Ronnie, you didn't get saved. And in my mind, I was thinking, who are you to judge me? And as he said, Ronnie, because if you had been saved, you still wouldn't be a crack at it. And I nodded my head. And he continued on sharing the gospel, and we was coming up on the time where he had a prayer ritual where he always would pray around 1 o'clock every day. And where he prayed was up in the attic. And he said, well, Ronnie, this is my prayer time, and I'm finna go in the attic and pray. He said, if you want to come with me, you can come. And so him and I went up in the attic, and he was praying unto the Lord as if God was right there.
Had you ever heard a prayer like that?
Never. And
what did it do to you?
The Holy Spirit just moved me in a way like none never had. And I said, I want to know and talk to God the way that he was talking to God as if he knew him personally.
So that day is when you encountered the reality of Jesus.
Yes, sir. I told God, I began to pray after he had finished praying. And I told God, I said, Lord, I don't know if you're real or not. I said, if you'll take me, Lord, here I am. I'll do whatever you want me to do, be whatever you want me to be, and go wherever you want me to go. save me, Jesus.
Amen.
And that was the turning point.
Amen. And everybody has that opportunity to come to that turning point, don't they?
Yes, sir.
We all come to the crossroads. We all have an opportunity to either accept or reject the reality of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
And thank God you accepted him that day.
Yes, sir. My life haven't been the same since.
Amen. Tell me about that.
Well, like I said, when God saved me, and I still had the drug habit, and the guy that led me to the Lord, he's mentioned that he knew where a place where I can get some help. And so he...
So it was like a rehab place?
Yes, sir, for 3 days.
Okay.
And he said that he was going to call a friend of his that was the captain of the Memphis Police Department. And back then, we didn't have any dealing with police, you know, just because of the betrayal and so on and so on. But, you know, God had came into my heart, and I wanted something better than what I had. And if it meant talking to this captain to go to this place, I was willing to do it, and I did.
And so you were there for 3 days?
Yes, sir.
And what happened after that?
Well, on my the day that I was released, of course, while I was there in this place, at that time it was St. Joseph, currently where St. Jude sits at today. They had a Bible in the room that I was staying in, and I knew I had just prayed a prayer of salvation, but I really didn't know much more than that. And the Holy Spirit led me to open up God's Word, and the first chapter I came to was the book of Romans in chapter 7, and I began to read where Paul was saying that the things I wanted to do, I did not, and the things I did not want to do, I did. And I said, wow, and that led me to continue to read. And as I continued to read the Word of God, I just knew it was something different going on in my life, but I didn't know quite what it was. So upon my release, I went back to the place where Ronnie Tuller's ministry was, and asked him, what do I do now? And he said, well, he said, man, I want you to come work with me. And he began to disciple me from that point. He discipled me for 18 years.
Gosh, what a blessing, brother.
Yes, sir.
That God would drop a man like that into your life right after you got saved.
Amen. He was heaven sent, for sure.
That is amazing. That's awesome. Okay, so here's a life in chaos that is redeemed through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You got a guy discipling you. You got kids. How many kids did you have at that time?
Six.
Six kids.
Mm-hmm. They was all young, thank the Lord. Except my oldest, in a relationship before I met my wife. That's another story.
Okay. So you had to turn your life around, and you had the Holy Spirit. You had the direction to do that because it was God turning your life around now.
Correct.
So, how did you get from that point to be a senior pastor and running a church?
Amen. I'm going to rewind a little bit back.
Please.
I grew up, like I said, my mother had 13 siblings. And she had 8 brothers and the rest sisters. And all my family members was either pimps, killers, street folks, drug dealers, you name it. But when God saved me, according to Scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. And I knew that I didn't want my children inheriting that generational curse.
Amen.
And so as I was being discipled and reading the Word of God on my own and the Holy Spirit teaching me, I just felt more in love with the Lord. So My kids would always see me reading the Bible. I began to take my children to church, and they saw this new love that their dad had for the Lord, and not in love with the world any longer.
Right.
And they, too, themselves, all have a personal relationship with the Lord.
Praise God.
Yes, sir.
That is awesome. Did you lead any of your kids to the Lord?
Yes, I had the privilege of leading my twin boys to the Lord, Roman and Joshua.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yes, sir. Roman now is a cancer doctor up at Harvard Medical School up in Boston. He's a doctor, and I have another son who's a doctor, Fred. He is a doctor of pharmacist. He's selling drugs legally. And Roman's twin, Joshua, has finished his master's in business. And my other son, D'Angelo, works for UPS. And Ronnie Jr. has his contractor's business. And my daughter, Precious, she works for the IRS.
Wow, praise God. So all your kids are out of the hood.
Yes.
They are educated. They're living responsible lives.
Yes, sir.
And they all love Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Wow. Bro, that's a miracle.
Yes, sir. It wouldn't be no me if it wasn't for God giving me a wife who loved me in spite of myself. Before I came to know the Lord, my wife, now at that time when I was lost, Rhonda, who is my wife now, she was my strange girlfriend then. But when God saved me, I asked the guy who led me to the Lord, can we go talk to her? And he led her to the Lord, too. And her and I, as more we read the scripture, we understood that we wanted to live in God's will and then no longer want to be living together and not married. Mm. And so we got married 30 days after we gave our hearts to the Lord.
Praise God. You wanted to do it right.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And God blessed you for it.
Yes, sir.
So you became the pastor.
Yes, sir. I can tell you about that.
Yeah, I do.
Well, the guy that led me to the Lord, Ronnie Tullis, gave me a job working with him around the church and for about a year. And then Jeff Patrick, who at that time was the owner of Maricom Telecommunication, asked Ronnie, could I come and work for him, which paid more. And so I did.
It was a good thing.
Yeah. So a year had passed with me working with Jeff. Ronnie came back to Jeff and asked Jeff, can Ronnie come back and work for me?
Ronnie, I love talking to you, brother. And this show is just too short.
Mm. We have part two.
Well, we're going to do that. If somebody wants to get involved in what's going on in your ministry, how do they get a hold of you?
We are located at 3575 Orchard Road in the Nutbush community. We are located off Jackson and Orchard, right near the National Cemetery. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 1081, Memphis, Tennessee 38101. And I would love to talk with anyone. My telephone number is 901-216-4193. And I'm always available.
Amen. And anybody listening to this show right now and the Holy Spirit is nudging you to get involved in a powerful ministry in an area that desperately needs to know Jesus, please reach out to Ronnie. Romans 5:5 says, and hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. Friends, thank you for joining us today here on Awaken Me Too. And again, we'll be back next week, same time, same station. Ronnie, thank you for being here, brother. And everybody listening to the sound of my voice, remember this, as long as Jesus lives, there is hope.
Amen.
There is hope.
This is a Valley of the Whale production.